The Writer's Room, a 7C podcast, is endorsed by Chaosium, Inc. For more information, visit www.chaosiuminc.com/7C and use the code WRITER10 for 10% off your next site-wide purchase. Limit one per customer. Hello, friends. Welcome back. Come on in. That's right. Not much has changed since you've been away. If anything, there's certainly more papers and books around. But I'm glad you're back. As Aaron Lewis of Stained has always said, it's been a while. We've been hard at work getting the second manifest ready for you. I don't have too many announcements. However, there are going to be some changes. I know you've been used to the two-hour format from the Fate of the Thorn series, but business is going to function as normal with our series, and so the episodes will only be about an hour long, with a few special episodes in between that are longer. So any ad reels, any shout-outs, any announcements, of course, are going to be at the front of the article. Now, another thing that's going to change is the officer tier. We have so many officers now that I unfortunately cannot name all of them. We'll be here for a good 5 to 10 minutes in the front of the episode. But they still remain here. They're going to be in the writer's room forever. And maybe, just maybe, you'll hear some of their voices. I will take this moment to shout out our current officers. Raven, V, Nightingale, Covington, Stuart, Tarkin, Cheshire, Thrith, Durs, Meloette, Spin, Merlin, and Armani. Thank you so much for helping us continue to keep this boat afloat. I appreciate everything that you do. And while I don't speak for the boys, I know that they also love you as much as I do. And again, if you would like to contribute and help the writer's room, please visit our Ko-fi page if you can donate. And if you can't, a simple share, a simple like, following us on our social medias, and helping us promote the podcast is a big help in and of itself. Spread the word. Tell more people about this crazy pirate podcast. I'd also like to take this moment, this specific moment, to shout out two incredible people in my life that have helped me throughout many facets, not just in the podcast. And those two people, of course, are our beloved Evan and Patrick. Thank you so much for doing this with me and creating this world and these characters and this story. Without you, it literally could not happen. I appreciate all of your patience and kindness and putting up with some of my bullshit. So here's to you, and here's to us, continuing to make spicy stories, making that good soup, living deliciously. I don't know, there's like a food thing that I was going for, and I've kind of lost it. So anyway, let's get back to the story, shall we? I know you're all eager to devour it. There it is, there's the pun. Anyway. The Writer's Room proudly presents the second manifest of La Rosa Blanca, Black Skies and Red Sails, Article 1, A Family Affair.
The camera is black, and we see on the screen in a old-timey, swashbuckling font. Tertius III, 1669. Totally not March. 6 months have passed since Jesse completed the deal with the devil Jonah. Rumors circulate on Aragosta saying that Waylon Greywall, La Rosa Blanca's master at arms and Jesse's best friend, has gone missing. For the past 3 months, La Rosa Blanca has been docked in Red Alice's shipyard. Captain Mama Coco has instructed that Hawthorne modify and upgrade the ship. With the funding and the backing of the Brotherhood, the crew wait patiently in Aragosta. The Bucket of Blood has since been rebuilt, made more flame-resistant, and has several exits this time around. As the text vanishes, where are we, Evan?
Are we on Aragosta right now?
I'm asking you.
Where was Reese last seen?
Good question. Reese was supposed to be in La Dominique on the day of your birthday.
You know what? He's probably on a pirate outpost somewhere in Thrandon Spires.
Okay. And what are you doing there, Jesse? Because I have an idea if you don't.
Let me hear what you got.
Because you're on the hunt for the devil Jonah, you could be out rooting his worshippers.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think he's probably scouting out all the really creepy, fucked up taverns that would have some pretty seedy folk there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I imagine he's at the bar of a tavern waiting for some weird people to walk in.
Give us a scene.
Jesse's in the corner wearing a black hooded cloak. Coat. We don't have a good picture yet, also because Evan hasn't made a decision. He's dressed in all black and he has a bandana, piece of cloth hanging around his neck, just in the event he needs to hide his face. But he's got a drink. There's a heavy storm outside.
As the lightning strikes, illuminating the inside of the bar briefly, and the thunder rolls, the door opens, and three people stumble in. They're soaked from the rain. They're dressed in darker clothing. One of them has a hat that they take off and kind of, like, shake to get all the rest of the rain off. And they immediately head over to one of the darker areas of the bar, which happens to be near you, and settle in. They don't say much other than to tell their drinks to the waitress as she comes over, and then she leaves. You hear their conversation as drinks are laid out for them, and after all the chit-chat has died, you hear,
"So did you get in contact with him?"
"No, I did toss him something, but nothing showed up the next morning."
"So that's it, then. Is he just done?"
"No, that can't be. There's always something he wants. I just don't know what it is anymore."
"Well, damned be us.
So what do you suggest we do?"
"Well, we could sit around and wait," and someone slams their drink.
"I have been waiting 4 months. I'd wait no more. I says we do it tonight, or not at all."
And the guy shrugs and sighs, and you hear him take a heavy pull of his drink. "So who is it, then?"
"I think that waitress ought to do nicely."
"All right, then. After the shift, I suppose."
"Aye. After the shift."
And they continue drinking and go silent. What do you do?
Jesse flags down the waitress.
The woman who is tending to that side of the bar comes over. "Aye, what you need?"
"What do you got that strong?"
"I got black shot if you want it, but it's been sitting for about 2 months or so."
"Yeah, give me the bottle."
She leaves and comes back with a rum bottle that has a black liquid in it. She puts it on the table. Do you take it straight out of the bottle or do you pour it in a shot?
I think he goes to drink it from the bottle. He takes out his tankard.
And it's the consistency of syrup. It smells like acid. It hits your nose and like almost burns your nose hairs.
It takes one fat sip.
So it tastes like black licorice, star anise, peppercorns, and a tiny, 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 tiny bit of cinnamon.
Oh, jeez.
And it's harsh.
Is there an upstairs to this building?
There's not.
Does there look like there's an offshoot of this building? Like in the inside, like a quieter, smaller room at all?
Yeah, there's like a meeting room of sorts.
Jesse kind of pokes his head over to see if there is anyone in there.
It doesn't appear to be. Not at the moment.
He calls over a server.
Oi, what you need?
Sorry to bother you. Get me 3 glasses, please.
Aye.
Leaves, comes back, gives you what you need.
He fills up each of them, places the bottle down, and carefully picks up the 3 and walks over to the table, places one down in front of each of them.
They immediately give you what Lucky Sevens affectionately likes to call the fisheye, where they just stare blankly and hard at you.
And he turns, goes to grab the bottle in his tankard, and he comes back.
Well, what, are you going to thank me or not?
What brings on this generosity, lad?
What, a man can't be nice once in a while? Sign of good faith, perhaps?
I suppose. But usually an offering like this doesn't come freely. What is it you want?
Well, if you're offering something, I'll certainly take something for it. Why not? Got any devilish business happening, I hear?
They all look at each other, and the lead one, who has an eye patch over his eye and a nasty, like, scar that comes down the cheek, looks up at you.
Why? You got something to give him?
He pulls the glove off partially.
Given.
The man cracks a rotting, toothy smile and lifts his eye patch to show the empty socket. Puts it back over. The other two also reveal one of them is missing their middle and pinky finger on their left hand, and one of the other ones is missing an ear. And the man with the eye patch scoots over a little bit so you can sit down in the booth with him.
He sits.
Why are you reaching out to him again? He needs something else.
Oh, he always needs something. That's what we're here for. It's what our job is.
What do you do for work?
Recruitment. We find the poor and the destitute and the lost, and we give them a chance at a second life. Perhaps a better one. Seeing if he is generous enough.
What's in it for you?
We get the special gifts, you see.
Like what?
The man closes his good eye, and he looks at you. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Bramble on you?
Yes.
Okay. Is it hidden?
Yeah, it's under his coat.
Okay. Do you have a pistol or a couple of pieces on you as well?
Yep, he's got 2 pistols and he's got a hummingbird dagger.
Okay. And is there something extremely hidden on you that you would not be able to see?
Are we talking weapon-wise?
I'm talking anything-wise.
Probably the heart of matters then, yeah.
Okay. The man looks at you with his good eye closed and the eye patch facing you directly.
You got a nice sword there on your hip. That dagger is something neat as well. Hummingbird, is it? You got 2 pieces, not loaded, and a right pretty stone in your left breast pocket. Be interested to know what that is.
I'm sure you would. What about you two? You got anything special to show?
The man missing the 2 fingers lifts up his hand, and instead of the 2 fingers are blades that look like fingers. but they're bent weird. And the man missing the ear covers his other one and listens for a minute.
Nearly 250 yards from here, there was a tree that was struck by lightning. A nest of parrots, a rabbit or two, and a fistful of termites. Those parrots got away freely. The rabbits the same. But those poor, poor termites, those grubby little things, they did not. And much like I can hear their screams in their last moments, I heard the patrons in here take their steps, drink their swill. And I can hear the blood rushing through your veins. Now, it calls, it tempts. But any lesser fool wouldn't have control over it. You're lucky I have that control.
Would you gentlemen be so kind as to join me in the other room for a quiet conversation? Please.
All three of them kind of look at you and... We can talk right here. There ain't nobody but the waitstaff anyway. What do you got there, buddy? See you picking up a good old hero point.
I insist.
I love that you use insistent for things that it wouldn't normally work for, but you know what? I'm gonna give it to you. Yeah, why don't we take this to somewhere a little bit more secluded? And they follow you to this back room.
When was the last time you talked to him?
About 4 months ago. We'd just given him 4 fresh pieces. And he showed up in the flesh, as it were, looking no worse for wear than you or I. And he said he didn't need anything else anymore. That he was content.
And that's it?
That's all he said. We haven't heard from him since.
You haven't given anything else?
No, we've given plenty. He doesn't answer.
Have you had others give?
Aye.
How many?
He looks between the other two and they come up with a number of, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12.
What are your plans from here?
We've only been giving him pieces. Our next plan is to give him a whole person. You figure someone healthy and fresh and lively.
He takes a little sip from his tankard. And he walks over to the doorway of the room. And he dumps it out along the threshold.
That would right get anyone's attention. And the air starts to get a little cold. And if you will allow me...
What are you going to do?
From the floorboards, slowly crawls up along the wall itself. It's a wall of black ice.
You got a hero point?
I do. So, do the three of them have weapons?
Oh, yeah. They've got cutlasses. They've got pieces on them.
He turns and he paces along as the ice is crawling. And he's just got his hand on Bramble, just kind of flicking maybe a metal leaf or thorn.
And what if you were never to give him anything again?
Don't try it.
As they reach for their weapons, the ice hits the top of the threshold and there's no light in here. Bramble is launched into the belly of one of these men. There's a moment of silence where both of the bodies drop.
I don't know what you're after.
You are of no help to me, and you are certainly of no help to him.
If Bonaventura sent you, I can give you whatever it is double, if you let me go.
In another life, maybe. Not in this one. I'm sorry.
He grabs his throat with his hand.
Your hand?
My hand.
Okay.
Before he falls unconscious, Jesse blinks, and there is a flash of teal. Just for a moment, shoves Bramble into his chest.
Give him my regards.
Throw him off to the side.
And they're not gonna hurt anyone else.
I'm spending a danger point here. The wall comes down. You go to leave. The waitress had her ear up against it, and she startles, sees you, sees the bodies. Help! Help! Somebody help!
Excellent.
Now we can begin a sequence where you gotta get the fuck out of here.
The fuck up. Hey, Zoe, question.
Answer, Evan.
I'm not debating either way or fighting for either way. Does Jesse get a point of corruption for that?
I think in this instance, you do not gain corruption because you were technically saving someone by doing this.
Yes.
Okay.
Evan, how's Jesse approaching the fact that he got found out and has to make a hasty retreat?
Hoo-wee.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Gotta go fast.
Well, I can't really do much. I don't have Luciana. I don't have the rose. I'm not on the sea. I don't even have the luck pool, right?
Nope.
Because that's for the rose.
That's for the rose.
Yeah, so I don't really have a lot. Jesse.
What? No. No. What are you going to do?
I'll say it when we get into it, because I think it'll be funnier that way.
Okay. If you do what I think you're going to do, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course I'm going to do what you think I'm going to do.
What's your approach?
I'm thinking athletics and...
finesse?
Either finesse or wits, because he's trying to move. I'm going to say finesse, because it's raining out.
Yep.
Athletics and finesse. That's a total of 5 dice. I think he's got like a... maybe a chartered ship that's ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was maybe the last day he was here and he was like hunting these 3 guys.
Okay.
And he just didn't really get what he needed. And so I think maybe he's heading out back to this chartered ship in the harbor. It's wet and slippery and he's got to be careful as fuck. He's got to lose these motherfucking people.
Absolutely. Finesse and athletics for sure. Take 2 for flair. And anything else that can help you right now.
I don't have any hero points. I've got nothing.
All right. Consequences and opportunities. Consequences are don't get caught. It's slippery and wet outside. And your opportunities are it's dark and slippery and wet. Use that to your advantage. There's also shit in the streets. You can absolutely like topple over a cart and prevent them from catching up to you. And yeah, roll the bones, I guess.
Time for some bones.
Okay. All right.
Yeah?
Sure. Hate that. But we got it.
What is it?
I had a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dice. 2 tens, a 9 and a 2, and a 5, 4, and 3. I have a total of 4 raises.
No remainders?
0, baby.
That is unfortunate.
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty fortunate if you ask me.
Well, it's unfortunate because I am all out of danger points because it's just you and me right now, bud.
Oops.
And you're all out of hero points, so...
And I guess I gotta make you laugh.
You're gonna have to make me laugh, so here we go. All right, and there are, in fact, a bunch of pirates.
You! Stop right there!
As Jesse gets surrounded. What's the matter? What's going on here? What seems to be the problem? And he pulls out his letter of marque and holds it up.
By the order of King Sandoval, I am supposed to be going after those 3 men.
Get him!
All right, never mind. And he throws his tankard. I'm going to spend a raise, and he's going to jump out the window.
They come chasing after you, except for one dude. He puts his sword away, and I guess I'll clean up after the bodies, eh? for king and country, senor! You're running down the streets. You got people chasing after you. Now they put their pieces away because it's raining and it's not going to be very effective.
What does the building situation look like? Are they just like ratty ass shed?
Yeah. It's going to take you 2 raises to get there. At about the same time that they do, it'll take you 3 raises to get there before they have time to catch up.
Here's what I'll do. I'll take you up on that. Not yet, though. 2 raises are going to go towards this empty cart that Jesse jumps on the back of. And for some reason, I imagine this on like the top of a hill, and there's like a long street that just goes, like a cobblestone street that goes down to the town of the harbor.
There absolutely is.
And he jumps up on the cart and he pulls out Bramble. And I think he says something dumb like, "Rain doesn't fall, rain drops." He cuts the rope on the whatever's holding the cart, but it takes a second. And so he's just like standing there triumphantly with a sword up. And then it starts to go, and he's like, oh, okay, cool. As the cart starts to move, he's gonna basically drive this fucking thing. We get some proper Atabayan drift. So long, assholes.
One of them grabs the donkey that was like holding the cart, gets on the donkey, and like starts to ride down after you.
I imagine there's like a big sign, you know, for a spot that sells just rum, specifically just for selling rum. And it's a big like barrel sign.
It's called the Kraken Barrel. It also serves breakfast.
There's like a crack in the top of the barrel. Yeah. I'm going to spend a raise and he's going to like shoot the part of the sign that's attached to the building. And it's going to fall and it's going to like roll along. It's going to roll along the cobblestone street and like block everybody.
Oh my God.
The donkey freaks out and, you know, bucks him off.
Yeah, because of all those delays, they ain't catching up to you.
Y'all have to wait for the next car.
Ah, you hear a bunch of like yelling and profanities shouted after you. Jesse, the road is ending abruptly.
Sure is.
We see the camera is on the water looking up as the cart flies over and lightning strikes and Jesse's like diving into the ocean and we see the splash and then your hat.
There is a single black glove that reaches out of the water and grabs it. The rest of the head comes up with it. And he starts swimming over to the ship.
I imagine it's not even like a fishing sloop. It's a one-man vessel.
Yeah, he crawls in and he's no more wet than he was before he fell into the water. And he quickly pulls up the rope, ties it up, puts it away, full sail.
Mm-hmm. As the sail drops, you hear the startled squawk of a quetzal.
Sorry.
The quetzal flies down to you, sits on your arm, and there is a message attached to its leg.
Are you asking me to dinner? Because I just left.
It gives you that side-eye, like, parrot stare.
Thank you for your service. He pulls the letter out. Quickly opens it up under his coat and is reading it. And is like, looking back and forth between the letter and the harbor. Just to make sure.
It says, someone is waiting for you at the Bucket of Blood. Adetokunbo.
Fuck. All right. Pulls it up. Are you hanging along, little friend? As he raises his arm up.
The quetzal is waiting for a return reply, but if you don't have one, it will just fly off.
I don't have any paper. Thank you?
Ah! Squawks and flaps its wings and flies off.
Go.
It like hits you in the face with the ow, tips of its wings, ow, and its long ass tail slaps you as it flies away.
Stop. Fuck. Go. I can't see. Fuck off.
As you're messing with the bird, you can hear in the distance, hey, get him.
Oh, shit. Okay. He takes out an oar and starts paddling just to, like, get him out of harbor.
The camera is positioned away from the harbor as your boat comes up close to it, bumps it a little bit, and it falls into the surf and goes black. And we transition to Aragosta. How far was this island from Aragosta?
Probably a day, maybe.
Okay. So down in the corner of the screen, it says 26 hours later. We are in the inside of the bucket of blood as the camera dissolves from black. There have been some changes. The bar, which used to be a huge slab of driftwood, is no longer. It is actually a wonderfully carved oak slab. Several motifs of flame carved inside it as it tells the story of the bucket on the top of the table. Adetta Kumbo, as always, is behind the bar, still as jovial as ever.
Same curtains?
Sedona's curtains are still there, absolutely.
Good.
And there are some matching curtains. They're not the same blue, they're not the same style, but...
The other change that's there is that there's a whole ass fucking building.
The Wall of Charters still remains and hasn't changed, other than the Crimson Charters are now missing. And as the camera is giving us a panorama, we see Lucky Seven seated at the bar with his good old drink, just having a time. And we see Charlotte walk out from the back. And she's got a plate of cookies. And she holds them up to Lucky Sevens. And Lucky Sevens goes, "Ah, my sweet little dear. What do we got today?" And she beams and says,
"We have little crossbones and skulls. Because they're bone cookies today."
"Ah, that's my favorite. I love them." And he takes two of them. There's some rough and tumble pirates that's like always in the bucket of blood, and they're having a raucous time and whatever. But as soon as Charlotte comes within 2 feet of them, they calm the fuck down, all have like beaming smiles, like their eyes have fucking stars in them, and they're just being so kind to her. It's like, "Oh, could we get you anything? Do you need anything? We could help. We could pass them out if you want."
She's like, no, that's okay. It's fine. I'll do it. I appreciate you, though."
As we're following Charlotte, we pass by a table kind of in the corner. And Charlotte puts down the plate of cookies as well as some limes. The camera is looking at Charlotte as she places these things down.
"I'm sorry about the limes. It took me a bit to get them. And some cookies, too. I didn't know if you wanted cookies or anything."
"Gracias, Hachinia. Could I get a bottle of the 50H Saldano? I'm expecting someone."
"Of course. I'll be right back."
"You're a sweetheart."
"Thanks."
And the camera turns as Charlotte walks away. Natalie, please describe Angelica for us.
"Hello, adventurers. Angelica de la Sombra is a young Castilian woman. She's around 5'8". She has long brown hair, which is decorated with small braids and silverwork beads and little wooden baubles. She wears a black feathered hair clip, which keeps her hair away from one side of her face, and silver pointed hairpins that hold up some of these long wavy curls in a half updo. She is wearing a coat which has been heavily modified, and obviously so. It seems to be stitched together from mismatched pieces of various purple and slate gray brocades and lined with a dark magenta satin. It's missing sleeves, leaving just a roughly hemmed edge where they should be attached. And there are darts and folded sections of its construction that spill over the edge of the chair she's sitting in, which seems to indicate that the long train of this coat has more material than would normally be typical, creating a sort of half skirt that can flow behind her and ends a bit just past her knees. It's covered in silver embroidery depicting stars, moons, waves, and lots of other little designs that look like busy work embroidery that you might do in order to kill time or embellish something that doesn't technically need it, just to keep your hands busy. She has leather gloves, which are so long they nearly resemble sleeves, hence why the coat is missing some. They have the handles of small knives peeking out of crisscrossing layers of fabric at the forearms and upper arm, and the hands of the glove cover her thumb, pointer, and middle fingers, leaving the others open like an archery glove. She's got day-old eyeliner and a bit of a smoky eye going on. You could claim that it helps with reducing the sun's glare reflected off the water, but really it's just there to look good. And she has a scarf around her neck, also a dull gray with more of that embroidery on it, but obscuring her neck. The rest of her outfit is pretty classic badass femme pirate. Thigh-high boots, simple pants, and more holsters for extra knives. She seems positively covered in them.
She's made of knives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what color are your eyes, Angelica?
Well, as Charlotte comes back with the bottle, she pops it open, takes a little smell, and pours herself a glass. And we see as she raises it to her lips, she gazes over the rim with gray hazel eyes flecked with gold.
Love it. Charlotte sits there for a little bit. She looks a little distracted. She keeps looking at the front door, which is closed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while there, she just kind of stares off, completely forgetting that she's in front of your table.
You look nervous, Hachinya. Do I still scare you that much?
Well, I just... Adetokunbo said somebody would be coming back soon, and I'm really eager to see him.
Does someone have a crush?
No.
You haven't mentioned anyone since I've been back in Aragosta.
It's not a crush. He's like old enough to be my dad.
I see what you mean.
He's a really good friend of mine. He taught me how to do my job here, and I just miss him a lot. He's been gone for a while, and...
Reunions can be stressful, but it sounds like you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I just hope he likes the new cookies that I made him.
If they're anything like these... And she takes a bite.
Oh, it's fucking delicious. It's just the right amount of royal icing. They are sugar cookies that are just the right consistency and texture. They're perfect.
Then you have nothing to worry about. It's sinful how good you are at this.
And we hear from the back,
Charlotte, are you done delivering the cookies? I need some help back here.
Coming. Sorry.
Go check on that volcano of yours. Make sure he doesn't erupt, huh?
And she titters off. And I do believe the door opens at that point, as if a gust of wind has just grabbed it on the back end and almost slammed it into the wall, but not quite. And Charlotte stops, and she turns, and she looks, and she beams. Jesse!
Hi, sweetheart.
And runs immediately to the door and hugs you.
Hi. It's so nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too. I missed you.
I missed you. You've gotten a little taller.
I'm getting too big too fast.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway, come in. I'll tell Adetokunbo. Well, I guess I don't have to tell Adetokunbo you're here.
Because Adetokunbo, you just see him. He, like, raises up his hand and looks at you.
He tips his hat.
I'll get you your drinks. The normal table?
Nah, Charlotte, he's got company this time.
Oh, okay. I'll just go in the back then. You let me know if you need anything.
Thank you, little one.
She titters off back.
Jesse takes a moment to look around, and he looks over to the wall, what used to be lined with charters, and looks to all the tables that look much different than the last time he and Wayland were there.
They're all brand new. They're all still bolted to the floor.
He looks over and he sees the curtains hanging and he acknowledges them and smiles. Looks back over to the bar.
Adetokunbo, could we get a table upstairs, please? I have business with this brooding Cuervo Nino.
Do you want upstairs, or second floor fine?
I guess that depends on how far my line of credit can take us. I know I've been pushing it a bit lately.
That you have.
But you've been so generous while I'm getting back on my feet. Let's say second floor, then. I want to make sure I can get out of debt with you someday.
Give me a minute.
Heads out the back, and we can hear his big, heavy footsteps heading up the stairs.
I read the book. I know there's multiple floors.
Oh, I'm so excited right now. This is wild.
For those listening, Evan has not stopped smiling since Angelica's in.
I was crying for a second.
You were. What?
I got tears.
You got
bro.
Tears. I saw. Whew. Yeah.
All I did was talk to Charlotte.
Yeah, you're here. Like, I get to meet you finally. He walks up.
Good morning.
She glances past you, looks outside. Maybe if you woke up at noon.
It's been a long morning. Night.
Time can be tricky like that.
Yeah. You have a line of credit here already.
Well, it's carried over from when I was a kid.
I've not seen you around here before.
Good. I try not to be noticed unless I want to be.
Adetokounmpo pops his head over the balcony and shouts down to you guys. Your table's ready.
She gives him a little salute. Why don't we head upstairs?
Yeah, sure. Ladies first.
And she'll carry her tray with the wine over to one of the spiral staircases to go up.
Second floor has been remade, of course. All of the tables there as well are bolted down. All of the chairs are bench circles that surround the table that are also bolted down. And there are more curtains up here. Same style-ish, kind of the same color blue. There's no candles or anything on the tables up here. So it's just the two of you.
I think regardless, she still picks the table that's in a corner.
As is proper.
Zoe, is it the same table that my Aunt Maeve was sitting at in the early episodes?
Yes, it is.
Angelica makes sure to take the seat that allows her to face out towards the room. She places the things she carried up down, pours you a glass of the wine, and slides it across the table to you. So, this is the infamous Jessina Kansa, the man who sunk the Song Doris.
Amongst other vessels, yes. That's Captain Diu.
Is it? Last I saw, the White Rose was in dry dock at the shipyards. Generally, you need a seaworthy vessel to be considered a captain. Do you have another one kicking around? Is it Admiral Nakansa now? I had no idea you'd been kissing Bonaventura's boots that much in the past few weeks.
I'm a bit busy these days.
So I've heard. You're a hard man to track down, though not quite so hard to hear stories about. You tangle with sea gods, have audiences with queens, and dance with the darker things of this world.
The Fae I'm friends with are not that dark.
I don't speak of the Fae, though that is another of your impressive accolades. Tell me, do you think you will outshine your mother in the span of a few years?
Who are you, and what do you want?
My name is Angelica de la Sombra, and I am someone with a bone to pick against a mutual acquaintance of ours, whose name I will not speak in this establishment. Adetokounmpo's patience only goes so far.
You'll have to forgive me. I'm acquaintances with a lot of people whose names could get you thrown out.
Don't mistake my good manners for fear. I fully intend to find him and demand what it is he owes me.
Jesse looks this woman up and down.
What do you want with him? What did you give him?
What I want from him is personal and my business. As for what I gave him, it's not something to be talked about with strangers. I don't intend to allow rumors about me to be spread around the way you have. I find that sort of spotlight uncomfortable.
I don't intend to intermingle my acquaintances if I don't know their intentions. What makes you think I can find him?
Rumors around Aragosta tell of a young pirate who knows how to find the unfindable captain. She takes a very long sip of her wine.
I've been looking for 6 months. No sign.
But you did find him before, which is more than most can say.
What do you want with him?
I want what he owes me.
Don't we all?
Not everyone overpays the way I did.
Jesse, if you look at her, there's no parts of her missing. The way someone who paid a hefty price to the person we're speaking to would have.
Which is why he's very confused.
It would seem that I'm at an impasse when it comes to my attempts at negotiation. My only avenue now is to find and force him to sit down at the table with me again. So, that's what I'm going to do. With or without the infamous Jesse Nakansa.
Force him to sit through negotiations. Forgive my ignorance. You are fascinating to me.
I'm flattered. I've always thought it was better to be interesting than boring.
Do you think I'm a fool?
I think you are an opportunity. And you are only a fool if you cannot see that I am the same for you. I can see many things, Jesse Nakansa.
I'm going to read him, Zoe.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
So, Angelica.
Hmm.
When was the last time you read?
She definitely would not have been using her sorcery, at least for her recovery period. But I think now that she's back on her feet and has been actively searching, she's been using her reads a lot more because she's trying to find a particular person.
Okay. So as soon as you open your mind to read, you can see at first, it's like walking through cobwebs. There's just a ton of extra strings. And all of these strings are tied to the bucket of blood. They are not necessarily the bucket itself, but more so the tales of the pirates that have sat in these halls. You can hear the echo of all of their voices when you read, almost as if they're wind chimes.
Is it like that haze you sometimes get of smoke in a bar?
Yeah, exactly. And once you clear all that away, with as much respect as you can give, it's not like you're just batting them off, you see Jesse. Now, Evan, I want you to describe what Jesse's fate threads look like to Angelica.
Wow. What she sees is the shape and the tautness of thread. It is a golden amber, but it looks like there are pieces missing from it. It is taut, but it doesn't look like it's connected. It's shards. Looks like there's a fracture. And in the fracture, each of the little pieces that are disconnected are gold, but have a tealish hue and a little black, like a rot. And I think there's one piece of that fracture that is just slightly off, and it's black, and it goes on for a very, very long way. You don't want to look that way, but you know who it is.
Now, before we get too far into this, Angelica, Jesse, it has been a very long time. 6 months, in fact. Since you felt any kind of anything resonate from your right hand, you feel a twitch in your fingertips, and there's a pain that shoots from them all the way up your arm to the back of your eyes. When you open them again, you are looking at Angelica, but there's a small object sat, I'd say probably in the chest cavity, not on the heart, but somewhere near it, and you recognize it as a seed.
of corruption. It looks much different than the one you pulled from Charles. The one you pulled from Charles was jagged and angry. The one that Angelica holds is shivering. It looks cold. It's not emanating any color, but if it did, perhaps it might be an ice blue. So blue that it's almost white. And instead of those jagged tendrils that reach out from it to lash out at anything it can touch, these tendrils are reaching and grabbing and clutching anything they can hold. But whatever they hold disappears. And so they're constantly trying to grab for something. Angelica, as you continue to stare and read Jesse, you see, held probably in the same area as yours, this jagged little seed.
I'm not looking to scare you or play games, Cuervo Niño. There is only the one detail from all your stories that I care about whether it is true. Can you help me find the man we will not name aloud or not?
Why would I do that?
Because you have been searching for 6 months. Clearly it is not something you can do by yourself either. Perhaps your string of good luck has run out. I know mine has seen better days. But perhaps we have enough between the two of us to find what we're both after.
I hate to inform you, Miss de la Sombra. What you call luck, I call a well-trained, highly skilled family. Hard work. Blood. Sweat. Tears. It's not luck.
I can tell you've seen suffering. That much would be clear, even if I couldn't see the pitiful state your threads are in.
Are you not of Castile?
Among other places. I've been to many corners of this world. Castile might show in my face and accent, but it's just another port now and then. It's not my home. Neither is Vodaci, if that's what you're thinking.
What else can you see?
I can see his touch on your soul. And the wicked thing shredding you from the inside out.
The last fate witch I encountered, I sent her back to him. You plan on altering your fate? My fate? His fate?
I'm certainly no friend to fate. I think she does shit work. And I understand your aversion to relying on something as fickle and intangible as luck. But I can make my own luck. It's tangible to me. And I'm perfectly happy to share it with others. Especially if they are willing to play nicely and help me find what it is I'm after. So how about it? Will you help me with my devil hunt? Wouldn't it be nice for once? If the thing you are chasing didn't demand so much blood, sweat, and tears from that family of yours. Think of it. Just an easy win you could bring back to them. I'm trying to bring home a win for my family too, Jacina Kansa. And I will do whatever it takes to make that happen. So you can help me, or you can continue to mope around in whatever this dark, spooky getup you've put together for yourself is.
You work with him.
I have, yes. Several times.
You step into my home, and you disrespect me and my family.
Do you think I've disrespected them? That's rich coming from someone who's bound his crew to him with charter magic. You think I haven't heard all the talk going around about the ones missing downstairs? Seems to me a captain should earn her crew's respect and loyalty herself. Not threaten them into obedience by holding a curse over their heads if they break a rule or two.
The last 6 months, I haven't been much of a rules guy.
We could break a few more. Together. I'm not afraid of cracking a few eggs if it means I get the sweet reward I'm after in the end. And she takes another cookie off the plate and then slides them across the table to you.
Have we met before?
She leans back in her chair. What would make you think that?
You look so familiar to me. Have I sunk your ship somewhere?
No. As far as I know, you have no reason to know me. Which is how I prefer it for most people, honestly. I find it helpful to remain dangerously unknown in these troubled times. I realize my not having a reputation could make it difficult to trust me when I say I am seeking your help.
I would say it's nearly impossible.
Well, if you refuse to help me, I can take the cookies and go. I'll just have to find someone else who will.
You want to find him that badly?
It's not a matter of wanting. I need to find him.
You sound desperate.
Maybe I am. What is it they say about desperate people?
They say a lot of things, actually.
I don't suppose you'd know anything about what that feels like. You, with all your skill and hard work and the world being so balanced and fair all the time.
And what happens when we find him? What then? How do I know you're not working with him? Is you're not gonna hand me over?
Because what I want from him is worth more than the soul of one messenger boy. He's in debt to me. I'm not giving him a single thing until he pays me what I'm due.
What does he owe you?
Like I said, it's personal. And a lady keeps that sort of thing private.
I'll be a ferryman, on one condition. I get what I need first. You stay out of my way.
Now who's desperate? She reaches under the scarf she's wearing and undoes the clasp on a silver locket and then places it onto the table between the two of you.
He looks into it.
It opens like a compass, but inside there are two portraits. You see a woman with dark hair wearing a similar type of scarf and Crescent Empire jewelry, smiling with gentle eyes. And in the other half, you see a gentleman with dramatic eyeliner and a short-trimmed beard with a mass of dark, unkempt curls.
These are the faces of my desperation. What I need from him is a way to save them, and the rest of my crew. I didn't include any titles when I introduced myself, because I am not their captain. Not at least until I get them all back, safely. I can stay out of your way, so long as you don't get in mine. Do we have a deal, Captain Nakansa?
I am no stranger to deals. And he sticks his hand out.
Then we have an accord. And she'll shake your hand.
The moment you grab his hand, there is a firmness you've never felt before. But not the expression of intensity or strain, but focus and determination and desperation.
When you let go, you feel the slightest little tug, like someone jerking you forward by your collar. But she just smiles and draws her hand back and tucks a loose curl of her hair back into place.
You see the focus waver for a second as he flicks his eyes down to his hand and back up, and he rests his left hand on his arm, and then it lets go.
The camera watches that interaction, and it's focused on, I'd say, the back wall here. It unfocuses from the foreground and focuses on the background, and in an innocuous corner, close to this table, a shadow moves.
I think said shadow had been almost like a statue up until this point, so still so as not to draw the eye, purposefully sitting within the dark corner of the room. And deep within those shadows, a match is struck. And as it is touched to the pipe in the shadow's mouth, it ignites the tobacco.
I have been waiting for you, Captain Nakansa.
And he stands up. And as this figure stands, to what you would think is his full height, he keeps straightening and straightening, taller and taller, until he stands at about 7'3" and steps forward into the cold light streaming through the windows. You see a very large, elderly man, pure white beard coming down just past the clavicle. A hat that looks like it was once a tricorner, the fastens holding up the folds long since discarded, flops down across one side of his face. Short cropped hair tucked back in the hat, wearing a large mid-calf, dark mossy green waxed coat, deep maroon trousers, two aged and weathered leather boots. His left hand resting on a rather fitting size, considering his stature, black thorn shillelagh. No weapons are visible, no swords, no guns. Just his walking stick. And he just stares at you. His eyes a deep amber. Although one, you see as he steps further into the light, a large scar coming down across the face. And instead of that same amber, on the left side is just a pale white. And he just stares.
Let me guess. You're looking for the devil too?
Mainly looking for you.
Well, you know what they say. You, me, and the devil make two.
You know, he said you tried to be funny and didn't always hit the mark.
Who are you referring to?
Suppose that's the question of the day. Captain Nakonsa, where's my son?
That's right. You thought that Patrick was going to sit this one out. You silly geese. Guess you'll have to find out more about Roland on the next article. Once again, thank you all for being a part of this. We will be returning to our normal bi-weekly posting schedule, so you will have to wait a little bit longer for the next one. But rest assured, it's always worth it. Until then, remember, you're not out of the woods until all the trees are gone. And be safe and well.